Well, as we look to God's Word this morning, I wanted to bring a word of encouragement for these difficult days. And I wanted to start off by sharing with you about this man on the screen behind me, Eric Weinenheimer. And in May of 2001, this man accomplished something that only 150 people do through the year, and that is ascend the and reached the top of Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world. Now, climbing Mount Everest, which I would never even try to do, is very dangerous, and the risks to your life are great. And just some of the dangers that you face climbing Mount Everest include altitude sickness, unpredictable weather, extreme cold temperature, avalanches, summit fever, crevices that I hear that can be 100 feet deep and hidden by snow. And that's just a few of the dangers that you face if you were to try to summit Mount Everest. Now, the thing that made Eric's achievement incredible is that he is the first blind person to succeed in scaling this mountain. And after becoming totally blind at age 13, rather than focus on what he could not do, he focused and made the choice to do and go much further than what other people thought he couldn't do, including summiting Mount Everest. And so he took that on. He challenged himself. And with the help of many friends and family, he's gone on to do this one thing that no other person has done in the world. So yeah, the first blind person to summit Mount Everest. What an incredible achievement. And what incredible hardship he faced to get there. But he did. He succeeded. Now, many times, we all face choices in life. We will allow obstacles at times to stop us, or we will keep pressing on regardless of the hardship. So it's a choice that we make. And it would be great, as followers of Christ, to follow him and never struggle and never have hardship. But we know that's not what life is about. We know that there will be hardship. As Peter says in the passage I just read, and the encouragement that he gives us is he reminds us that, remember, we're just passing through. You're strangers, you're aliens. You're citizens of heaven. We're just passing through earth on our way to our glorious home in heaven for all eternity. And so Peter says, remember who you are in Christ. But remember that while you live on this earth, live such good lives that people will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So then there is this challenge to be faithful to the Lord through those dark valleys, through those hardships in life. The reality is that many times doing what is right in the eyes of God requires overcoming obstacles, persevering through challenges. And in our daily lives, you know, we don't face the dangers of altitude sickness. We're not up against avalanches and deep crevices hidden by snow. But you know what we do face each and every day? And there are four common foes we face when we go through hard times. And those are fear, despair, pain, uncertainty. Have you heard those words before? Have you met those words before? I'm sure you have, because I have. And when you experience all four of those words at once, man, that is overwhelming. That is a difficult time. It's as if you're suffocating, you're blinded, you're deafened because all these words are coming at you and you just don't even know how you're going to get through the day. And so life takes us there. And it ain't always pretty. And it ain't always easy. And what causes them? Well, just to name a few, some of those words come at us when we have health struggles. We have financial worries. When relationships break down. How about when someone significant in your life passes away? Or when you are facing problems at work. Or find that life is going by so fast, you didn't think you'd still be where you are. And you feel like you're missing your dreams. So I could go on about what brings those foes, those hardships of fear and and despair and uncertainty coming at us. And it can feel overwhelming. You know, it has been a very difficult past few years, hasn't it, for all of us, for our community and for our church family, with not just COVID, but the pandemic and what that meant. And our society and way of living was truly turned upside down as we had to navigate something that we had never gone through before, let alone our government leaders. And so life has been hit hard at every level. And still, we're picking up the pieces in our families, in our church, in our community. And it's important that we still acknowledge this and recognize how life has changed. We are slowly, maybe, getting there, but we are not there yet. And I would say that we are even living in a season of recovery, which I pray leads to renewal. And who knows, revival. Praise the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. But through it all, through the hardships that we still work through, God has remained faithful, hasn't he? Absolutely. God never stopped being in control. God never stopped leading us these past couple of years through our hardships. God has never stopped guiding you, speaking to you. But you know what? Maybe, perhaps, we stopped listening. Maybe we stopped following Jesus when he said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So hardships, no matter what they are and where they come from, what they can do is harden our hearts, not just towards God, but to one another. In fact, if you've been in that place in life where your heart's been hardened and there's this distance between you and God, I'm telling you right now, it will affect how you relate to the people next to you, even this morning. It will affect our relationships, our vertical relationship, and that is all about God and how much we need him. But when that gets out of sync, when there's hardship in our hearts, hardened hearts because of hardships, it will affect how we relate to one another. Not just towards God, but to one another. Do you agree? Has this been your journey? Perhaps is this your journey now? So let's be honest here. Have you been feeling weary, tired, weak? And if that is where you are, what needs to happen is you need to let the Word of God, the truth of Scripture, sink into your spirit once again. If you can open your Bibles next to Psalm 27. In Psalm 27, I hope this morning after you've left that this psalm will become your favorite psalm. I'm sure you all have wonderful psalms that you turn to in times of crisis or celebration. But in Psalm 27, the author David gives us four things. We have four lessons before us in this psalm that we need to know and practice when we face hardships. If you're following in the Pew Bibles, the Black Bibles, that's page 546. But it would be great if you could all open up a Bible and have your eyes staring down at Psalm 27. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Just follow along with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a right path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Many scholars believe that Psalm 27 was written in the context of David's flight from King Saul. His life was in danger, and he's on the run, and he's alone. He has a few supporters, but this was a very difficult time in his life. And certainly in this conflict with Saul, and in many other conflicts throughout his life, David understood plenty about those four foes: fear, despair, pain, and uncertainty. So let's take a moment to look at these four lessons David says we must do when facing hardships. Number one, when facing fear, believe. When facing fear, believe. In verses 1 to 3 that I just read, we learn what David believes. What David believes about God, but then also what he had been struggling with in that moment. And that is fear. Fear, he identified, was an obstacle in his life. And what did he do with it? We'll find out in a second. But I'm sure you all know what fear is and how gripping it can be. Fear is a very real struggle for some. And it was for a 5-year-old boy named Johnny. You see, his mother asked him to go into the pantry to get a can of tomato soup. But he didn't want to go. He didn't want to go alone because it was dark in there. It's dark in there and I'm scared, he said to his mom. So she asked him again and he persisted. And finally she said, it's okay, Johnny. Jesus will be in there with you. What good encouragement from mom. So Johnny walked hesitantly to the door and slowly opened it. And he peeked inside and he saw that it was still very, very dark. And he started to leave again when all at once an idea came to him. And he said, Jesus, if you're in there, would you hand me that can of tomato soup? Our lives can be gripped by fear, paralyzed. And David's was. The opening verse of Psalm 27 frames both the problem of fear, because it can be a big problem, but it also gives us the solution. Because as we see in David's words, if there are people of whom I may be afraid, there is also one who is my light and my salvation, and who is the stronghold of my life. And we don't know the precise circumstances that made David afraid, but in verse 2 and 3, if you look there, he describes them in terms that reflect military. He uses words such as, when evil men, verse 2, advance against me, when my enemies and my foes attack me, verse 3, though an army besiege me. So clearly he's outnumbered, and his foes and his enemies are surrounding him. So all is not well in David's world, and he has cause to fear. But, you know, that's not the focus of his words. When you look at the question, of whom shall I be afraid? Listen to the tone of that. He's not afraid at all. But he's recognized that fear is present in his life. So what's he going to do about it? He recognizes the presence of fear, but then he applies what he believes and what he knows about God to his fear. His focus, his gripping passion now is a description of who God is to him. In verse 1, what do we hear David say about the Lord? He is my light. He is my salvation. And then later, at the end, he is my stronghold. Then he says, of whom shall I be afraid? When everything is dark, guess what? God lets me see. When there is no way out, God saves me. When I feel trapped and attacked, it is God who makes me feel safe. So when facing fear, David challenges us to do what? He is challenging you today to reaffirm and review what you truly believe about God. So in the face of fear, he says, God is my light, God is my salvation, the stronghold of my life. Let's think about those three words for a moment. First, what does light do? Light dispels darkness. Light shows the way. Light is comforting and light is guiding. God is our light. And Jesus came to be the light of the world, pointing us to our need for a Savior, to repent of our sin and turn to God for the forgiveness of our sins. Salvation is such a free gift to receive. As Romans 8:10 says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation, it equals victory and rescue. It means victory over our enemies, like the foes of fear and despair and hurt and pain. God himself brought salvation to David, and he probably meant that this was a rescue both in the immediate and the ultimate sense. God had rescued David time and time again and would do so time and time again. So David confesses and declares God is his light, his salvation, but then he also says God is the stronghold for my life. And the Greek word for stronghold here is defined as a place or means of safety, of protection. It's a refuge. And so because God is a well-fortified place, a place that will keep you safe no matter what the storm, you can be confident in him. You don't have to be afraid of what life serves you up. So is God your light? Is God your salvation? Is God your stronghold today? I know your hardships are real. And there could be very real issues causing you very real fear. And they might be big, but are they bigger than God? So what you believe about God, as we are seeing David here remind us, in the face of these obstacles in your life, review what it is that you believe about God. For what you believe about God and your relationship with him goes a long way in determining how you handle your life circumstances, how you handle your relationships and hardships. And God could be very much using hardships in your life right now for you to get back to him, to get back to worshiping him and spending time with him and loving him more and more. So whatever is going on right now, don't give up. Believe and trust in Jesus. And don't let fear determine your steps or dominate you, for he is in control. Listen, I think we know and can be warned against fear, but in faith in God, when we put it in God alone, fear goes on the run. And we know there's also an enemy that is out to destroy us. Satan is passing out fear every day, and he is hoping that you will just accept it. No questions asked. He wants to hook you with fear. Why? Because as Jesus said of Satan in John 10, verse 10, he is the thief who came to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's out to steal your peace. He's out to steal your joy. He's out to kill your dreams. He's out to destroy your hope for a life of joy and loving relationships and a reason for living. So what do you do when fear comes to you? Well, you resist it. You say no to fear, and you refuse to sign for it and accept it. You say right out loud, no way, Satan. I don't receive your fear. You can't fool me. I resist you and your spirit of fear in Jesus' name. James 4, verse 7. It's just basically saying, in confidence because of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, Satan, you have no hold of me because of what Jesus has done for me. And once you say aloud no to fear, make sure you say aloud yes to the Spirit of God's power in you. And God is offering you power over fear. He gives you this power through the person of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer at salvation in his fullness. So when facing fear, our first point is believe. When facing despair, because that was another foe, an enemy that came against David, he reminds us in verses 4 to 6 to draw near. Look at verses 4 to 6. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Think about one thing you would ask God for in your life today. What would it be? What would you ask? What is one thing that you would ask God for in your life? Well, perhaps what you think of or what you could conclude with could be something that you want God to provide for. Or perhaps something that he might do in your life. And it might be in our lives, but it might be that what you would ask God is what he could do in somebody else's life. But what does David ask for in verse 4? If you look at verse 4, what does David ask for? And what I love about Psalm 27 verse 4 is that what David asked for is just to be with God. Just to be near him. The one thing David wanted to do was dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. And what he really was saying is he wanted to walk in the presence of God. He wanted to draw near to God. He wanted to seek him and be with him. My youngest son, Micah, the youngest in our family, you know, he's a pretty cuddly boy. And when he was young, when he wanted to hug and cuddle, he would come up and sit in my lap and he would hug me. But that wasn't enough. He wanted to get even closer to me, as if he could get any closer. So we decided that the best way to get even closer was to try and squirrel up underneath my sweater to get even closer, or my shirt. And he wanted to get even closer to me, and that was just his way. And of course, it would be at his age now, it would be impossible to happen. But it's a picture of just wanting to get closer and closer to someone you love. And so when you think about that, how do you apply that spiritually to our relationship with God? Well, you do whatever it takes. You would stop everything in your life to just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen, or walk and sit in a quiet place and be with him. And so David was, you know, walking through a very difficult time of despair and hopelessness. And the odds were stacked against him as his enemies were in hot pursuit. But in response, he sets his heart to seeking God. And all he wants to do is be with him. Come closer. Can you get any closer, Micah? No, you can't get any closer. Now you're making me really hot. But take that and apply it into your walk with the Lord today. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God. And the promise of God is this: he will draw near to you. What a wonderful promise from God when we first come closer to him. We draw near to God through prayer, through coming together to worship like this. This is one way that we can draw closer to God as a gathering of followers of Christ. We draw near to God through being in his word and sharing life with other believers. We draw near to God when we stop. And drawing near to God involves really just coming close, just the way that you are, just the way you wish to be with those that you love. As a result of being near to God in his presence, what does David discover again? He finds peace. He finds hope. He finds faith. He finds confidence. Where his head was down, what does the passage say about his head now? His head is exalted in verse 6. His head is above even his enemies now. But when you think about a head hung low, why is that? Why is it that sometimes our heads are down? Well, shame, guilt, despair, that can keep our heads down, can it? Conflict. So what was it that lifted up the head of David? Well, again, seeking the Lord and being in his presence. And that could be just in your drive from your house to the church, if it needs to be. Just talking to the Lord, giving it over to him, whether it's a time of repentance or just crying out to God, Lord, help me. Know that he will, because he is our light and our salvation and our stronghold. The sure truth that God was with David set him high upon a rock. God lifted his servant above his enemies, and David was moved as a result to then praise and worship God, the rock of his life. So when facing hopelessness, draw near. Keep getting closer. When facing pain, because David experienced pain as well, receive. That's our next point. Look at verses 7 to 12. David says, "Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your sake, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence." You know, the key phrase that really stood out to me in this section was when he said, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." Listen, personal pain comes in many forms and from many sources. And one of the most painful sources that we experience is relational pain. When people close to us abandon us. When people close to us reject us and hurt us and slander us and criticize us. And David wasn't spared this pain. And we see that in this psalm. There's a lot of relational pain represented in these verses. Listen, he said, "God, don't abandon me." He got to that point where he wasn't even sure if God would turn his head from him. Verse 10, "Even though those closest to me turned their back on me," that could have been those friends that were with him and then betrayed him to follow Saul against him. Oppressors in verse 11, false witnesses in verse 12, these represent people that were rejecting and coming against him. The message within the message is that David turned to God when there was no one else to turn to and nowhere else to turn to. And God was there for him, just like he will always be there for you and for me. So what pain are you going through? What hurt are you having to deal with and perhaps have been dealing with for many years? What do you need to receive from the Lord? Is it comfort? David did. Is it assurance? David, in our passage, shows us he needed assurance. He needed support. So would you pray to God today and even and present your need to the Lord, that hurt. Present your hurt and pain to him and then receive what blessing he wants in your life right now to help heal your heart and soften it again. You know, when we face the deepest, darkest pain that makes us feel alone and hurt and hopeless, David challenges us to turn to God and receive. And we receive something from someone, again, outside ourselves. And that someone is Jesus. And he has what you need. He has more than what you could ever imagine in store for your life if you will first go to him with your hurt. So we need to come before God with a humble heart to receive. In order to receive, we also need to come to God with faith and obedience, trusting in God to provide and supply for our every need. Lastly, when facing uncertainty, we find in David's words in verse 13 to 14, the message to trust, the encouragement to trust. Look at verse 13 to 14. He says, "I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." You got to personalize verse 14. That could be why you're here this morning, just that verse. As followers of Christ, we can always be confident in God because God is trustworthy. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing, and he has given us all that we need to live for him. David was confident in the goodness of the Lord, and that caused him to say, "Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord." And what he is saying here again is this message to trust in God. When we are surrounded by uncertainty, we trust in the goodness and strength of our God. And this is what faith really is. And you have to trust him no matter what. You know, Moses didn't see the water part right away, did he? Things were very uncertain, but he trusted and God made a way. Daniel didn't see the lion's mouth closed right away. Things were ominous, to say the least. But he trusted. And David didn't know his stone would hit Goliath in exactly the right place and take him down. Again, it looked like a giant of a problem, but David trusted. So what are you going through right now that is uncertain? You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the result, and you don't need to, but you have to remain faithful to God and trust in him. Do what David did and what God asks us to do, and that is trust in him. Faith means to trust, and trust means to rest. And you will find rest in him when you just come to the Lord as you are and sit at his feet. To the Apostle Paul, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect." When? Where? In your weakness. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." So let this message this morning help you have a new perspective on weariness and weakness and lacking strength. Allow it to remind you that those words keep us depending on God. And you know, Jesus said and has kept saying to each of us, and he's never stopped, "Come to me, all who you're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And you know what Jesus is telling us here? It's to see our weariness as a good thing, as an opportunity to draw closer to God. Jesus wants to meet you there in your weariness, in your weakness, and make you strong with his strength. So our weariness and weakness, again, reminds us to keep coming back to God and every other hardship that we discover. And so because of Jesus, you can change from the inside out and have a relationship with God that is fulfilling and will bring unspeakable joy. So withstanding the challenges of life, withstanding these hardships that even David faced, can seem impossible at times, but I want to tell you this morning, you can get through this. With God's help, you will make it to the other side. So we serve a powerful God, and his power is what will get us through. So hang on. And don't let go. And in every season of life, remember, God is faithful. He is faithful. So whatever you're facing, good or bad, set some time aside in your quiet time today with God and present it to the Father. Then, as we've seen in our passage, believe, draw near, receive, and trust that God will work it together for your good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. And God, we thank you that there is a work that you're doing in each of our lives that is all about helping us to become more like Christ every day. Lord, we just ask now for your forgiveness, Lord, for when we have neglected to spend time with you, when we've neglected your word. But God, we thank you again today that we can come together to worship you and be reminded of your these important spiritual truth that points us once again to you, to surrendering our lives to your transforming presence. God, thank you so much for your faithfulness, for your goodness. Thank you that we can come in such freedom to worship you and to celebrate, God, the work that you're doing in our lives. We thank you, God, that even when the hardships come, Lord, you are there to help us through. Thank you for guiding us through another week. And as a new week approaches, Lord, we do set our hearts now to you. Help us to continue to be faithful and trusting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.